Well, welcome to our road trip. Today we are at Dickey's. Dickey's is owned by a guy named Kenny that's part of C3, and what a great place. And we're so glad to be able to film here today. Today, since we are filming at Dickey's, you might hear once in a while some noise maybe from the kitchen as they're getting ready for lunch. Maybe you're going to hear some cars going by. Just a little bit ago, a fire truck went by. So if you hear stuff like that, just realize, hey, this is fun because we're on the road trip. That's what we're doing. And we're trying to help small businesses, and we hope that you will be a part of that as well. Now, today, here's what we're doing. Today we are in week two of our series that we're calling Underdogs, and we're talking about people in Scripture in the Bible that were underdogs that became overcomers. And my hope and my prayer for each of us is that we would realize that we can be the same, that with God we become overcomers. Sometimes we feel like we're an underdog, right? But with God, we can become an overcomer. Now, today, I want to talk to you about a guy that you may have heard of, maybe not have heard of, in the Bible. And he's known as Blind Bartimaeus. Now, what's interesting is Blind Bartimaeus obviously was blind. And because of that, he just basically was on the side of the road the whole time. You know, he was just there, you know, he couldn't see anything, but he's probably there as a beggar, holding a sign up, trying to get money so he can have food and a place to live and all that stuff. And can you just imagine just being on the side of the road, people just not really honestly caring about him. He's just standing there with this sign, he can't see, and people are going back and forth. Maybe they're walking on the road to go to work, and then at night they walk by him again as they're heading back home. And maybe I just wonder, let me just ask you a question. Sometimes do you feel that way? Sometimes do you feel like you're just standing on the side of the road? You don't have anything big to deal. You don't have any big issues, or you don't have anything to do. I mean, but other than these people, they seem important. The people that you see going by on the road, they must have something important to do. They must be a bigwig, but I'm not. I'm just a guy standing on the side of the road. Do you sometimes feel like you're insignificant? Because I think that's kind of how Bartimaeus felt. Insignificant. I'm a blind guy just asking for money so I can live. But these people are going back and forth because they have places to go, people to see, things to do. You know, it's interesting because when we speak about people on the side of the road, we oftentimes think of hitchhikers. How many of you have ever recently picked up a hitchhiker? Most of us probably, let's be honest, most of us probably don't really think about it. We don't really think about stopping to pick up a hitchhiker. Right? Why? Because we're thinking, well, that might be an axe murderer. They're gonna, you know, they could kill us. You know, we don't want to have anything like that. So we're just going to go right on by. And I think probably a lot of people do that. But here's the thing. When I was about 18, living up in Yakima, that's where I was born and raised, I was driving over to Sela to see some of my friends. And my car was getting close to empty on gas. And I thought I could make it, and I didn't. And I ran out of gas, and I just limped the car over to the side of the freeway, got out and started walking on the side of the freeway, and then going on the off-ramp into Sela. And as I'm walking on the off-ramp, all of a sudden a truck pulls up and goes, "Hey, is that your car back there?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, here, my buddy and I, you know, we'll be glad to give you a ride to a gas station and then take you back and get the gas in." And I'm like, 18-year-old guy, I'm like, "Yeah, okay." Now, it turned out fine. They picked me up. They took me to the gas station. I bought some gas. They took me back. I put it in. Everything was good. Would I do that today? Probably not. And that's a lot of times what happens, because sometimes in our world, we're like, "Eh, I don't want to take the chance. I don't." And so people don't stop for other people anymore. This is what was happening right here with Blind Bartimaeus. He's on the side of the road, and people are going by, and he's just wanting some extra change. But can I also remind us of something? God often likes to interrupt our plans. And that's what we're going to see right here. blind Bartimaeus shows up. He's just standing there, just like he has done for days, weeks, months, probably years, standing there at the sign wanting money. And that was his job. That was what he was supposed to do. He had a plan that morning. I'm going to go and stand on my street corner and try to get money from people with my sign, right? But God loves to interrupt our plans. And let me tell you, when he interrupts our plans, it's actually a good thing. It's actually a good thing. So what we're going to look at real quick is we're going to look in Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10 is where we see blind Bartimaeus. This is where we actually see him. This is the only place we see him. In Mark 10, verse 46, here's what it says. It says, "Then they came to Jericho." Now, hit pause for a second. Who's they? It's Jesus and his disciples. They're coming into Jericho. "Then they," Jesus and the disciples, "came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd," because a crowd would always follow him, "they were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging." Now, let me just kind of help you with something. In the first century, if you were born with something that wasn't right, you would oftentimes not only be called your name, they would put the title of that thing above you. It would be, well, you're not Bartimaeus, you're blind Bartimaeus. Or if you were a leper, or if you were lame, or you were deaf, they would put that and then your name. Wow. So you weren't known by your name, you were known first by your issue, your problem that you had, and then your name. Now, this is kind of sad when you stop to think about that. I mean, I want you to think of some of your struggles. Some of you maybe are or have at some point had a substance abuse. You know, would they call you Alcoholic Alley? I mean, how would you like that? I mean, what horrible thing that the first thing that they call you is the struggle, the addiction, the problem, the issue that you have. That's a horrible thing. Now, what we just read, though, it says that blind Bartimaeus was the son of Timaeus. Now, I want you to stop and think about that. Timaeus was his dad. Mrs. Timaeus was his mom. Can you imagine when they first got pregnant with him? And for those 9 months, all of a sudden, for those 9 months, they are thinking, wow, what is it going to be, a boy or a girl? What's it going to be when it comes out? What's our child going to do? You know, is he going to be a president someday? Or is he going to be something in business? Is he going to be a doctor? All these great things. Then all of a sudden, 9 months later, they have the baby, right? And the baby comes out blind. And all of a sudden, can you just imagine in the first century when a baby came out and there was something that wasn't right? All of a sudden in the first century, they believed this was damaged goods. They believed that this child that we were so looking forward to is a disappointment. How sad. Every child is valuable. And yet here they're feeling disappointed. They're feeling like their child has damaged goods. Do you relate to that? Are there things in your life where you feel like you are damaged goods? Are there things in your life where you feel like just basically you are a disappointment? Maybe to your family, to your friends, to your job. Do you ever feel that way? And if so, be honest about it. Answer this in your heart. Answer this in your mind. Do you feel like you're a disappointment? Do you feel like you're damaged goods? Because today, we're going to find out that you are not that. You are not that. You see, a lot of times what happens is we let our struggle define us. We let whatever we're struggling or having difficulties with to define us. And we try to find something to make us feel better, something to give us perspective, something that would help us to make it to feel important. So we think things like, well, if I could just get the right job, if I could put in front of my name CEO, or if I could put in front of my name VP, or if I could put in front of my name, MRS, Mrs. If I could put in front of my name, Mom or Dad, then these titles will make me feel like I'm valued. Or, let's be honest, sometimes the only way we feel value is by our possessions, by our stuff, by our things. Can I tell you that our titles, our stuff, and our things doesn't define us? Does not define us. In verse 47, when we're reading about Bartimaeus, take a look what it says. Mark 10:47 says this. When Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus, we're going to come back to that word. When Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." Now, what's interesting is this. Why did I highlight the word heard? Because Bartimaeus was blind. He couldn't see Jesus. He's used to standing there. He's blind. He's holding a sign, trying to get money day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. He's used to this. He cannot see, but he can hear. And all of a sudden, this one day is different because all of a sudden he's hearing people. There's excitement. What's going on? Jesus is here. Jesus, I can't see him, but I've heard of Jesus. He does miracles. He does amazing things. This is my shot. This is my one and only opportunity. And because he heard that Jesus was there, he began to shout. He began to yell. He began to try to get Jesus' attention. I can't see him. I don't know which one he is in the crowd, but I'm going to yell until he answers, until he says something to me. You see, don't we often focus on what we don't have? Have you ever thought about that? Don't we often focus on what we don't have? But yet, Bartimaeus focused on what he did have. He goes, I don't have my sight, but I have my hearing. And I hear that Jesus is here, and I'm going to yell, and I'm going to scream, and I'm just going to be obnoxious until he responds, until somebody takes me to him or he comes to me. I'm just going to continue to do this. And he began to yell, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." You know what this tells me? And I want to put this in your notes. If you're taking notes, you can take notes on our app. But here's something for your notes. Don't focus so much on what you don't have that you forget what you do have. Don't focus so much on what you don't have that you forget what you do have. Bartimaeus knew he had hearing, and he was going to use that, and he was going to be obnoxious until he finally got Jesus. You see, so often we focus on what we don't have, not what we do have. It kind of reminds me of another passage of Scripture. In Romans 12, the Apostle Paul is talking about spiritual gifts. And here's what he says. He says, "We all have gifts. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance to your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, teach." And then he goes on and he says this, if it's encouraging, then what does he tell us to do? Then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. You know basically what he is saying? He's going, God has given you a spiritual gift. And what Paul is saying is, don't focus on the gifts that you don't have. Focus on the gifts you do have. That's exactly what we're just talking about. Don't focus on what you don't have, that you forget what you do have. You know, when it comes to spiritual gifts, we see other people, we go, man, I wish I could teach like that. I wish I could preach like that. I wish I could serve like that. Maybe God didn't give you those. God gave you some other spiritual gift. Don't focus on what you don't have. Focus on what you do have. When it comes to talking about value, blind Bartimaeus probably didn't feel like he had value. He was just a guy trying to get money from other people to be able to live. I was watching a few months ago. a show on TV. I was clicking the TV, seeing different channels, and one of the channels came up, and I stopped on it, and I'm so glad I did. Don't remember the name of the show, but it was a guy that was making things out of glass. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but if you've ever seen a glassmaker, what they do, at least on the show, this is what this guy was doing. He had this like long tube thing, and at the end of it, he had this stuff on the very end. It's kind of like a round ball that is hot, and it's going to be glass when it cools. And so he's blowing into this tube and making it this thing become bigger, and he's shaping it and stuff. And all of a sudden, as you're watching this, you can begin to see that it's turning into something beautiful. It's turning into something kind of beautiful. But all of a sudden, in the show that I was watching, all of a sudden, as the glass maker is making this glass, all of a sudden you hear a crack. And all of a sudden he stops and says to the camera, he says, something went wrong. But then he just kept going. You're thinking, okay, something went wrong, something cracked, it wasn't supposed to do. He's going to throw it away and he's going to restart it again and all that with something. But yet he didn't. He just says, oh, that wasn't supposed to happen. But then what he does is he continues with the same piece and he starts cutting off certain sections and begins to reshape it and mold it. And by the end, when he was finally done, he had this beautiful piece made out of glass. And if you hadn't seen the first half before the crack, you would have thought this is what he meant to make all together. And you would say this is a work of art. Can I tell you, that's how you and I are. God is the creator. God is the one who is forming and shaping you into the person that he wants you to be. And as he's shaping you, sometimes things happen. Sometimes cracks happen in our life. You may be thinking, I want to have the best marriage ever. Crack. Oh, I got a divorce. Maybe you're saying, I want to have a business, and I want to be a business person, and I want to be the best business person ever. Crack. Oh, I went through bankruptcy. I mean, maybe you're saying, I've been clean and sober for 2 years. Crack. Oh, I fell back. And in each of these cases, we had a plan. But somewhere along the line, God, as he's shaping us and forming us, somehow this crack happens. God doesn't just take us and throw it away, just like the glassblower didn't throw it away. Instead, God just comes and begins to shave off those areas and begin to create something new. To create something new out of you. Something that is valuable. Something that he loves and how he can still use you. This is something that we have to realize. And I want to give you an example of this. When I was 17, I went on my first missions trips. I went to the Philippines and we did a lot of different missions stuff over there. But we also had a guy come and he was a speaker. And we had thousands of people that would come under this tent with the speaker. And the guy's name, you may have heard him, may have not heard him. His name was Dave Reber. Dave Reber was in the Vietnam War. His story is this. When he was in the Vietnam War, he was on the front lines, and one day he had a grenade, and he was getting ready to, he pulled the pin and was getting ready to throw it over at the enemy. And just as he pulled the pin and was getting ready to throw it, a sniper on the other side shot and hit his hand, and he could not throw it. And all of a sudden, because the pin had already been pulled out, all of a sudden it blows up. The grenade in his hand blows up right next to his head. And it affected this entire half of his body. The first thing that happened is it blew off a couple of his fingers. It also blew off his ear. And from here on, his face is distorted. His hair is, he wears a hair piece on this side. His whole body on this side. The medics came, took him, worked on him. Long story short, they sent him home to the States to a VA hospital. He's in the VA hospital. and he hears that his wife is coming the next day to see him. And he says, I was planning to somehow try to figure out how to kill myself because I do not want my wife to come and see me this way. And if she does come and see me, she will not want to stay with me. She will not want to be married with me. She will leave me, and I will be alone, a hideous monster. The next day, she showed up. And the way he tells it is when she came into that room, she wrapped her hands and arms around him, and she kissed him on the side of his face that was affected. And she kissed him and said, I love you. You're as beautiful as you were the day I married you. And all of a sudden, he realized she's not going to leave me. And all of a sudden, you know what you find? Well, you see this, if you look at this, the rest of the story, and he will tell you the story. God had another plan for him. He ended up becoming an evangelist and telling his story to everybody, everywhere. In fact, he has a great sense of humor. Every time he spoke, he talked about, he goes, yeah, I can play the piano by ear. And he literally will take off his fake ear and he'll start playing the piano with that. That's the kind of guy he is. Funny guy. But yet when this happened to him in Vietnam, he's thinking, I need to die. My wife's going to leave me. I'm not going to be used to anybody. But can I tell you that God just, as the master glass blower, when that crack happened, he just cuts off that part and repurposed Dave Reaver. And Dave was still able to be used for Jesus Christ. And thousands of people have come into relationship with Jesus Christ because of Dave Reaver. I mean, stop and think about that. Dave, even though he's disfigured and has different health issues and stuff on his body, God is using him, and Dave is a masterpiece. And can I tell you, you are a masterpiece as well. Don't focus so much on what you don't have that you forget what you do have. In verse 48 of Mark 10, take a look at what it says about blind Bartimaeus. It says, many people rebuked Bartimaeus, and told Bartimaeus to be quiet. But, and I love this part, listen to this. But he, Bartimaeus, shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. I love that. Everybody's going, shut up. You're just a guy that's begging for money. This is Jesus. He's the guy that does all these miracles and this great teaching. He's busy. He's got other people to talk to, right? He can't talk to you. Just shut up. Have you ever noticed the discouragers? Have you ever had people be discouraging to you? Or can I flip it? Have you been a discourager? You know, the discouragers just love to discourage people because for some reason it makes them feel like they're elevating themselves. If I push other people down, I will feel better about myself. How's that working for you? A lot of people love to discourage for different things. Oh, you'll never finish college. Oh, okay, well, I'll invite you, you know, to my graduation. Or they'll say, you'll never get that girl. Huh. Tell you what, I'll give you an invite to our wedding. I mean, don't listen to the discouragers, but somewhere along the line, we feel ourselves up when we push other people down. Can I tell you that doesn't work? You know what really works better? When you lift other people up, it lifts everybody up. But for some reason, as humans, we love to try to discourage other people because it makes us feel better inside. But let's be honest, it really doesn't. It doesn't. Bartimaeus seized the opportunity. He heard that Jesus was there. He began yelling. The people said, stop it. That's Jesus. He's busy. He's got other people to deal with. But he was taking his opportunity. I'm going to yell, I'm going to scream until I get Jesus' attention. Can I give you something for your notes? If you always do what you've always done, you're only going to have what you always had. Let me say that again. If you always do what you've always done, you're only going to have what you always have had. In other words, you got to do something different. In fact, Einstein said this. He goes, The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Let me say that again. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Can I lovingly say to you that some of you are insane? Some of you are doing the same thing over and over and over, and you're getting the same result, and you keep doing the same thing thinking you're going to get a different result. That doesn't make sense. It's time to do something different. That's what Bartimaeus did. He realized today is the day to do something different. I'm hearing that Jesus is nearby me. I'm going to yell, scream. I'm going to do whatever I can to get his attention. But somewhere along the line, we think, well, I'll just keep doing the same thing and eventually something will change. No. When is the time to make a change? The time to make a change is today, right now. Now, take a look in Mark 10, verse 49 and 50. Take a look at what this says here. It says, Jesus stopped and said, call him. Now, hit pause for a second. When Jesus said stop, call, who was he saying to call Bartimaeus over to him? He was saying it to the ones who were discouraging him. He was saying it to the discouragers. He's saying, hey, don't shut him up. Tell him to come to me. So all of a sudden, the people that were saying to Bartimaeus, shut up. Jesus is too important. He can't talk to you. Jesus would go, no. I want you to knock that off. I want you to call him to come over. So they call to the blind man. Cheer up. On your feet. On your feet. He's calling you. And then look what he does. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. He said, I don't care about my cloak, my jacket. Anything that's holding me back, I'm taking off because I want to go see Jesus. And that's exactly what he does. And then we see in verse 51. Now listen, this is kind of a weird verse. In verse 51, they bring him up to Jesus, and this is what happens. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Now, why that's weird is this. Jesus asks, what do you want me to do for you? And I'm thinking, if I'm in the crowd, I'm like, he's a blind man. He might want to be able to see. But here's why I think Jesus asked him that question. Jesus wanted him to actually articulate it and to ask for healing. He wanted to actually do that. And all of a sudden, in verse 52, it says this, Jesus said, go, your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus along the road. Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine being there? Can you imagine you are a person that's walked by Bartimaeus all the way, you know, when you go to work and then at night as you're coming home. Every day, for days, weeks, months, maybe years, you walk by him. But this time you're coming to work. And it's something different. All of a sudden, you're seeing Jesus there and a crowd. And here's the blind guy. And all of a sudden, you see Jesus heal him. But, you know, it could be a trick. Maybe he really didn't get healed. But all of a sudden, it says that Bartimaeus began following Jesus. Oh, my goodness. The only way he can follow Jesus where Jesus is moving around is if he can see him. All of a sudden, you realize he really can see. This is amazing. This is something that is great. Can I tell you, some of you today are going to have your eyes open. Oh, you're not blind, but your spiritual eyes are going to be opened. And you're going to see and you're going to realize that God loves you. God has created you. Even though you have a crack in your life somewhere, you've got something that went wrong that you didn't want to have happen. You feel like you're not valuable. God is going to show you that you are valuable. That you are still useful to him. So spiritually, yes, your eyes will open up. You see, we oftentimes feel like we are not valued. But to God, we are very valued. You know, what's interesting is this. Value is important. In fact, I want to illustrate with this. Here's a water bottle. Let me ask you. How much would you pay for a bottle of water? A buck, maybe? Maybe if you're like generous, $2. You know, if you're in Disneyland, it'd probably be $10, right? But you know, maybe $1, maybe $2 at the most. Now, let's say you're in the middle of nowhere and it's 50 miles to the nearest water and you are dehydrated and somebody comes along with this bottle of water. How much now are you willing to pay for it? $5? $10? Let's say you're in the middle of nowhere and it's your child. It's your child that is dehydrated. And your child is dehydrated and you have no water anywhere and somebody comes up and offers you this. Now how much are you going to pay for it? You'll pay whatever you have to get it, to be able to save your child. You see, the value of an object is simply what someone's willing to pay. Do you know what Jesus was willing to pay for you? His life. That tells me that you are valuable to him. I want you to take a moment, and I want to show you a video right now of a young guy in our church named Raymond, and hear how his story is and how he found out that he was valuable. Watch this.
It all started before I was born. My mother, she was addicted to street drugs, and in order to get money for street drugs, she would sell herself into prostitution. One thing happened, and then eventually she became pregnant with me. 9 months later, I was born. She had me for about a few weeks, and then I got put up for adoption. My grandfather adopted me. My grandfather was an atheist. He didn't believe in Jesus, like, at all, so he didn't believe in Jesus at all. As I was growing up, he would never discipline me, so I was a very bad kid. From the time of kindergarten to the third grade, I've been suspended 19 times. I had no idea what church really was. I did get invited a few times with my cousin, and I didn't really want to go to church, but I still did just so I can hang out with my cousin, just so I can hang out with him. And so there was always something that was getting me to go to church. But growing up with an atheist grandfather is very difficult. I also never knew who my biological father was. Still don't know who he is till this day. I saw my mother like once or twice every few months, so I didn't see her often. And then as I got older, around when I was 9 years old, I moved up with my grandma. She started disciplining me, so I started staying out of trouble a little bit more. But then as I was getting older, thoughts started developing, and I started looking around at other families and seeing how they had a mother and father in their life, and I was starting to call myself a mistake because I was just a mishap in a meeting between one person and another, as I would call myself. And eventually this led into a very deep, dark depression. As I was around 12 years old is when I started to become seriously depressed. Around 14, I decided that I wanted to end my life. So I went to the kitchen when I was home alone one day, got the knife, and I was ready to slit my wrists and end my life right there. But I did not do that because my grandma got home early. And so I put the knife back, went back to my room, and just stayed in there for the rest of the day. And then eventually I met a guy named John. He invited me to C3. And as soon as I came here, it was a whole different experience. I kind of didn't really know what it was. I never experienced church in this type of way before. People were welcoming me, and I was really confused by all of it. But eventually I got plugged in to tech. I started doing lights in the 7th grade. I was still super depressed in this time, but I started doing lights. And then eventually I started to know about Jesus. Then it was, I want to say, May 21st, 2017, I got baptized for the first time. And when I got baptized that first time, it was only because I knew Jesus, not because I was fully giving my life to him. I was just mostly doing it because other people were doing it, and I was like, oh, I've known about Jesus for a little while now. I feel like I should do this. And then I recently have discovered that that was not the case. So And then, so after that, I started seeking some help from God mostly. I was like, all right, so I'm going to try to develop a relationship. I didn't really hear anything. It didn't really help. I was still feeling depressed. Like almost every night I would just get into this really deep, dark depression that I would not, that I was a mistake and I wasn't supposed to be here. Until on June 23rd at summer camp this past year, the speaker Peyton, he gave an opportunity for all of us to go outside and have God speak to us. And I never really let God try to speak into my life. I was just kind of asking for things. But this time it was different. I actually opened up my mind, and the first thing after my mind was open, I was like, so God, why have I never known my biological father, and why have I never got to have a normal family like everyone else? And the first thing that God told me, and it just screamed really loud and repeated in my head, is like, the world may call you Raymond, but I call you my son. And at that moment, it was just repeating in my head over and over. I broke down in tears, and it was amazing, and I ended up getting baptized at that camp, fully giving my life to Christ, and living in a full thankfulness of what God has done.
You see, you're valuable to God. If you were not valuable to God, you know what would happen? Jesus wouldn't have come. The Son of God wouldn't have come, and he wouldn't have died on the cross for you. And he wouldn't have risen again for you. He would have just walked off in the cosmos and said, good luck. Hope you can figure out how to get to heaven. But instead, Jesus, the Son of God, left heaven to come to earth, yes, to die for the sins of the world. But let's just be honest. He died for you. He died for me. He rose again for you. He rose again for me. That tells you and I, that tells us that we are valuable to God. Because what somebody is willing to pay shows the value. And he gave his son's life for you, which says that you are hugely valuable to God. And for some reason, so am I. I don't understand this. And I don't think we ever will understand until we get to heaven. But God says that we are valuable to him. Yes, we have the cracks in our life. Yes, we have the struggles in our life. We have these things happen. We do. But like the glassmaker, he just cuts off the edges and creates something new that can be used, that can be honored. Don't look at your past. Look to your now. Look to your future. God is saying you are valuable. You're not an underdog. With God, you're an overachiever. You are somebody that can overcome all of these obstacles, not on your own, but God who lives in you. Let me give you one last thing for your notes, then we're going to wrap up. Our value is in who God says we are, not in what others say. Our value is in who God says we are, not in what others say. Can I encourage you, can I lovingly encourage you to stop listening to others and start listening to God? I would challenge you, I would encourage you to look in Scripture and find verses that say what God says about you and read those over. Maybe write them down on note cards. Put them on your walls. Put them in your car. Put it in your Bible. Put it on your refrigerator, whichever one you open up most. But put them somewhere, right? To see what God says. Because the world will always put us down, but God will always lift us up. Our value is in who God says we are, not in what others say. Stop listening to others and start listening to God. Why? Because to God, you are valuable. Let's pray. So Father, right now, I pray for each person that is watching this live right now on the online stream or later on as a video. I pray that you would help them with the difficulties that they're dealing with. Lord, you know their situation. You know that somewhere in their life there's been a crack. There's something that happened that they didn't want to happen, and it kind of changed the trajectory of their life. Father, sometimes we often identify ourselves as that, just like people did in the first century. It wasn't Bartimaeus, it was blind Bartimaeus. Sometimes we ourselves, we think of ourselves as our struggle or a difficulty or whatever that crack was. But God, that is not how you see us. You are like the glass blower, making something beautiful. When that crack happens, you just simply cut off some stuff and reform it into something new and even better. Lord, would you help us that even though we've struggled in things or maybe still struggle, that we are valuable to you. And for some reason, you love us and you care for us and you want a relationship with us. And Jesus, you died for us. The Son of God died for us, which shows the value that we have and that God cares about. So Lord, today we pause. And this is an opportunity for us to stop and examine ourselves and if we have a relationship with you. And for those of us that do, we're saying, God, thank you. Thank you for valuing me. I don't know why you do, but you do. And I'm so thankful that you haven't given up on me. And I'm so thankful that even this crack in my life, you've changed and you repurposed. And I am still able to be valuable to you and to be able to serve you and be on mission with you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, for others, there are some that are going, I don't have a relationship with you. I feel like that crack defined me in my life, that thing that happened that I didn't want to happen, that I did that was something stupid. I don't feel like I'm good enough to come to you. But God, today you whisper to us that you love us, that we are valuable, that you do want a relationship with us. And you can help us with our struggles. You can help us with those things, that crack that we've been dealing with. And Lord, I pray for those right now that are pausing. They're bowing their heart and they're asking you for forgiveness. They're admitting that they are wrong, that they have sinned, that they have hurt others, maybe themselves, but for sure they've hurt you. And they're simply repenting, turning from their sin and asking forgiveness and now walking towards you. And Lord, I pray for those that are making that decision right now. Would you help them to realize that you instantaneously forgive them? And you instantaneously put your arms around them and you want them to come into a personal relationship. This isn't just saying, I'm sorry, and that's good for the rest of it forever. It's now a time for me to step into relationship. I ask for forgiveness and now I come into a relationship with you for all of my life and all eternity. So Lord, I thank you for those who are stepping into that relationship. And we celebrate those every week. And we say thank you. In your amazing name we pray. Amen.